Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design, the Dr. C podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, or simply Dr. C. Tune in every 2 to 5 weeks, every Monday, as we explore the unique journeys of entrepreneurs. Our podcast sheds light on the paths entrepreneurs have taken in their respective industries. Each episode, we dive into the stories of entrepreneurs, their challenges, triumphs, and the insights gained along their journey. We believe in the power of innovation, resilience, and the entrepreneurial spirit that drives success. Together, we'll learn from a diverse array of entrepreneurs united by their passion for making a difference. Now is the time to unlock the secrets of entrepreneurship. Now is the time to be inspired, to learn, and to craft your own path to success. Join me, Dr. C, as we embark on this journey together.
How can we expand our comfort zone? How can we just stretch it out a little bit more? How can we make that phone call where it feels really comfortable? So maybe starting with the phone call to the people that you're pretty confident that you've got a good relationship with, and maybe kind of build it backwards that way to instead of what I call the chicken list. The chicken list is the person that you're like, I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to say no, but I really want to ask them anyways. And you never know until you do ask them. And sometimes they surprise you, but that's a real scary feeling. So maybe it's expanding that comfort zone and starting with more easier things and then working into the things that are a little bit more difficult.
In 2008, our guest Nina traded the corporate world for the entrepreneurial life, seeking freedom, flexibility, and financial security. The journey wasn't smooth. Overwhelm, lack of confidence, and a comfort zone trap were hurdles. Recognizing the need for change, she embraced discomfort, streamlined priorities, and achieved rapid business growth. Now she's on a mission to guide entrepreneurs from overwhelmed to organized in 90 days or less. Join us as we dive into her journey, pivotal lessons, and actionable advice for a balanced and successful entrepreneurial life. Thank you so much for being here today, Nina. It is such a pleasure to have you. And I would love for you to really talk about how you ventured into entrepreneurship, leaving the corporate world back in 2008 and where you are today.
Oh my gosh, what a journey this has been, and super fun, I have to admit. So back in 2008, yep, I was in the world of corporate. My last corporate job was working for a home builder, and I thought it would be a super fun job to help people get into the home of their dreams and all the good stuff, right? It was in the downturn of the whole market in the home building industry. And I ended up surviving seven, if you can believe it, seven layoffs, and over about a year and a half time frame. So it was really stressful in a lot of ways. It was stressful to watch your coworkers go. It was stressful to bring on the additional work. It was stressful not knowing if I was going to be next. And when they finally decided to close the doors, I was so relieved. But one of the things that I really picked up on was I really didn't appreciate how it all happened. And it really made me wonder if I were to able to take charge of my own life, if I were able to create my own journey, what would that look like? And maybe have a little bit more control over a situation like that in the future. So that's where I started looking at being an entrepreneur. And from there, it just kind of took off because I was like so motivated. I wanted to have those things that we call freedom, flexibility, financial security. And I always like to throw in, I wanted to have fun because I was not having fun in that situation in the corporate environment.
I love it. And, you know, a lot of people talk about this where you don't have that freedom or control when you are working for someone else and being able to take matters into your own hands. And when you did that, when you took that leap of faith and decided to start your own business, what were those initial steps? What were some of the challenges in even starting from scratch?
I will say, I think it's the same thing that a lot of entrepreneurs do in the beginning. You're super excited. You've got all these skills that you've taken from corporate. You've got this great background and all this knowledge, and you're like, I've got this, I can do this. And then bam, you're in a business. And then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I am now all the departments of the corporation. I am the CEO. I am the COO. I am the CFO. I'm the customer complaint department. I'm the receptionist. I'm the bookkeeper. I'm everything. The sales department. And I think at first I thought that was going to be really easy to do, but then it's like, wait a minute, that's a lot to juggle and a lot of hats to put on all the time. And to be perfectly honest, it really overwhelmed me in the very beginning, and it kind of shut me down. So I started doing all the things that were comfortable, the things that were easy, you know, replying to emails, creating to-do lists, filing, doing my bookkeeping. Those are easy things to do, right? Because I don't have to contact anybody. And the sad part is that I knew in the back of my mind that if I didn't make some changes with that, I wasn't going to build a business and I wasn't going to grow. And I wasn't really going to fulfill my dream of having that freedom and flexibility. And in that time too, I also found that I was working more than less, because I was like, if I just put an extra 5 hours in, I can get this done. Or if I put an extra whatever, do a little more research. And again, I think what I was doing was I was really kind of avoiding what I needed to do and stepping out of that comfort zone. And that took me about 6 months. And after about 6 months, I just kind of had that wake up call. It's like, what are you doing? You have the skill set, but that doesn't mean you have to do everything. And you can delegate, but you can also create systems and processes and kind of organize yourself so that you put yourself in a situation where you're not working all the time. Because I really, truly wanted to live the dream life, right? I wanted to have the lifestyle that I see so many people have. So it started there, having a realization, and then also getting out of my own head. I had this whole mindset of kind of almost self-sabotaging and feeling like I couldn't do it. And then again, when I took that step back and looked at the big picture, it was like, why do you not have the confidence? Because you were successful in corporate. Why can't you be successful in your own business? And if it's something that I really want bad enough, I can figure out how to make it work. And that's what I did.
And I love this because I think a big part of when you start off, you're so excited. Like you mentioned, I know I was, it's like, I can do it all, or I don't have the money or capital to pay somebody to do it. So I'll just do it. I'll just spend those extra 5 hours. But what people really don't realize, at least I didn't realize when I started, was how much work it takes to build a business from scratch. And it's not just, okay, yeah, it's laying on the beach and doing all these things that you see on maybe social media. But the reality is you are working more than somebody who is working a 9-to-5 or a 40-hour work week. It's going to look a little bit different because you're starting from scratch by yourself. But the delegation piece is so crucial in being able to build a business, having systems so you don't have to be doing everything. And I'm like finally learning this after 6 years. I'm like, okay, I'll hire out, I'll outsource. The struggle was real. I just didn't want to let go of control too, because I think part of that, a lot of people that are starting their own business, they want to be able to control their time and have that freedom, where it is hard when it's like your baby. You don't want to just give it to somebody else. But how did you start incorporating systems and delegating? What was that process like for you?
So I started for delegation. What I did was I started looking at the things that what were sucking up my time or taking up a good amount of my time that I could easily give to somebody else to do that wouldn't really cost me a whole lot of money. Let's face it, a lot of women have teenage kids at home. They have neighbors, stay-at-home moms that are looking for things to do that you can easily pass off some things and not have to pay a lot of money for. Because I get it. You have a very small budget when you start a new business. So it was for me deciding what were the things that I really enjoyed doing, what gave me passion. I wanted to keep those things because I felt like it had my stamp on it. But the other things that I truly didn't enjoy doing, I could pass those off. So the delegation kind of worked for me that way. And so at that time, I had a couple teenage kids that I could go, here, will you help me with this, the filing and all this other good stuff, right? So it allowed me to free up my time to do the other things, what I call income producing activities. And then as far as the systems and processes, I just went back into my corporate world. I'm a real organized person to begin with. It's kind of how my brain works. It feels like when I have a system or a process in place, life is good because I know exactly what I need to do, how to do it, and what steps I need to take. And so I just thought, well, why am I constantly reinventing the wheel? And I think that's what we end up doing, is we're reinventing the wheel all the time. We have a system for this, let's say for onboarding our clients. And then we do it. And then the next time a client comes on, we change the whole system instead of trusting the process, right? Yeah. So if we come up with some 5 simple steps that really make sense and it's in a chronological order, it can be clickable. And that is where we stop reinventing the wheel and we have a system that works. Now, as your business grows and scales, then you can change the system or the process to match the growth of the business. But initially, get something in place that works. And I'm a huge proponent of being the master of your calendar. Again, a lot of times we kind of wing it instead of are committed to it. We think we've got it. We think we have everything in place, But that's where holes happen. That's where things get left out or forgotten. That's where mistakes happen. So that's part of the process, is kind of having control of your calendar, having a system that's very easy to follow. And if you're building employees or a team, they can easily use those duplicable systems as well, especially if you start delegating that out to people as well. So that's kind of the process of what I like to do for people. And I like to do it very customizable, because I know how I like to work, but how you like to work is so different. So we kind of dig down and drill down and figure out what is the right system for you and that you would actually be committed to working with.
Oh, I love that you said committed to what works for each person, because you can try to be like, here, use this one, this is the best, but it just doesn't resonate with the person and how they function. But I love recognizing, really diving deep into what's going to work. And you're right, being a master of your calendar, even if you don't like to have a calendar, it's the way to stay organized. And I know that's a huge thing we're going to be talking about today as well, but understanding how to navigate all the things that are coming in to make things easier for you, your business, and to have it grow and scale. And I know a big thing that you had spoken about just briefly ago was stepping out of your comfort zone, how important that is. And a huge part of that is just the decisions and tasks we decide to take on and do and being able to grow and scale our business. But what are some examples of that, what that would look like by stepping out of your comfort zone? What does that look like for you?
So again, the comfort zone is everything that we enjoy doing. It's everything that feels okay, right? So for some people, picking up the phone to follow up with a potential client could be very scary because they're worried about the outcome. Okay, so the outcome is something that we don't have control over. What we have control over is our actions. Okay, so that would be an example of somebody having to step out of their comfort zone. So a better way to maybe even look at that is, instead of saying, because that sounds scary in itself to say, step out of your comfort zone, right? So maybe looking at it from the standpoint of, how can we expand our comfort zone? How can we just stretch it out a little bit more? How can we make that phone call where it feels really comfortable? So maybe starting with the phone call to the people that you're pretty confident that you've got a good relationship with, and maybe kind of build it backwards that way to instead of what I call the chicken list. The chicken list is the person that you're like, I'm pretty sure that they're probably going to say no, but I really want to ask them anyways. And you never know until you do ask them. And sometimes they surprise you, but that's a real scary feeling. So maybe it's expanding that comfort zone and starting with more the easier things and then working into the things that are a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. You know, when you were saying that, what popped in my head was just like the energy levels, what lights us up, and being able to do that ourselves, but then delegating other things. But even with the things that are scary, sometimes, like, I know I have the most energy in the morning. So the scarier things I do in the morning versus like late at night when I'm already exhausted from the day. But I think it's really identifying the things that we can do, but also the hard things, because we can do the hard things. But it's focusing on, all right, let's just focus on something easy and then do something hard right after it, or like vice versa, the harder things, the reward after.
Yeah. And it's also, again, just, it's really hard for people to do, but if you can stop worrying about that outcome and just focus on your actions and why it's important for you to do it, what could be the benefit of it coming true, and how can it help you build your business? You know, something else that I really enjoy doing, and I taught a lot of people in my other business that I had, my direct sales business that I had, is be the CEO of your business. Just sit down and look at, from a CEO standpoint, what would need to happen this week to move your business forward? What would be the two or three big things that would need to take place? Because let's face it, we all have these really mondo to-do lists. And I think that could be very overwhelming too. But if we were just to pare that to-do list down to the top two to three things, okay? So then from a CEO standpoint, you kind of determine that, what needs to happen. Then let's say come Monday morning, we become the employee, or we become the teammate. And then that person is now, oh, this is what the CEO has laid out for me to get done. So now it's kind of a mindset shift, but it works really effectively, because once it's on the calendar, and if you're committed to it, it's just like if you go into a corporate setting, okay? In a corporate setting, you're paid to do a job. What do? You don't question, say, I'm not going to do it. you do it. So we're just kind of tricking the brain a little bit here. And the CEO said, I have to get this done. And now I'm the employee, so I've got to get it done.
Oh my gosh, I love this. I've never heard it explain like that, because it's true. When you're able to do a task, I think a lot of people that are coming from employee to employer mindset, that can be really difficult. I know I struggled with that going from the therapy world to now owning my own business. But that piece that you said of being the CEO, laying it out, scheduling it out in the top 2 to 3 things that are really important, and result producing activities as well. Because what popped in my head when you were saying that was like, oh, a lot of times for one of my businesses, I was always doing just like the busy work versus the actions, because I was scared to do certain things. I was like, oh, I don't want to call them, or oh, I'm not ready to follow up, I'll just do this instead. But when you lay it out, and just the example you gave with the corporate world, you're not going to not do something or else you'll be fired. And if you want your business to grow and scale, part of that is taking action and doing the hard things. And once you do it once, then it becomes a lot easier after you've done that really hard thing. You're like, oh, I got this. I have so many examples of that. Even going with managing your expectations too, because you don't know what you don't know and what you're speaking to overwhelm. Mm-hmm. I know that's a big part of your business, helping overwhelmed individuals. But part of managing the time and expectations is a big part of that, and understanding that that's so critical for entrepreneurs of all kinds. And I'm really curious, what strategies have you implemented realistically to really balance the time and expectations that you have for your business, but when you're helping others as well?
Okay, so first of all, this is so perfect, because I was just thinking about this earlier today, and I love this. Is I call it the 60-30-10 rule, okay? Mm-hmm. And there's lots of different formulas for this, but it really works quite well. So let's take it from a standpoint of somebody who's a newer entrepreneur. Newer entrepreneur, maybe they still have a corporate job. Maybe they are just easing into the business. They're not able to take it on full time, okay? So maybe they have 20 hours a week that they can work their business. Sometimes for people that can sound really overwhelming. It's like, where am I going to fit the 20 hours in? Well, then now let's break it down by percentages of time. Okay. So mm-hmm. if we have 60% of our time is working on income producing activities, this is everything that is going to be bringing in your sales, your customer follow-up, your onboarding, your email campaigns, your webinars, whatever it is that you're doing to build your business goes into that 60% of time. Then you've got 30%, which is your future business. This is your prospecting. So this would be networking. It would be one-to-ones. It would be your social media, anything that would generate maybe new leads for you. And then the final 10% is your admin time. This is your bookkeeping, your emails, all of that kind of stuff. Okay, so we take it a step further now. We've got those percentages of time, and we know that we've got 20 hours that we can work. Well, 60% of 20 hours is 12 hours. So 12 hours a week, you're working on your income producing activities. So now you can map it into your calendar, and you've got a little bit of a plan, and you can kind of, if you can kind of wrap your head around that, it makes it very easy for you to manage the time in a shorter amount of time. And I think it kind of helps lay it out for you of where, again, we're stepping out of the comfort zone, expanding the comfort zone, whatever it is, but managing that time very efficiently. And it really works really well for people. And it worked really, really well for me.
I love this. I'm getting so many tips for myself. And I know so many people are going to gravitate towards this, but a part of like being able to manage the time, understanding what are essential aspects of the business. And you broke that down so beautifully of the percentages. So we know where we can find that extra time, because if we really look at our schedules, some people I've worked with in the past, it's like, well, 3 hours of Netflix every night, where that could be working on your business. Gary Vee talks about that as well. If you're working 9 to 5 and then 6 to 11, you're working on your business or whatever it may be. But really finding those pockets of time where it's going to help grow and move your business forward to have that optimization of growth in your business. But I'm really curious, because focusing on that aspect of the percentages, are there specific areas where you believe entrepreneurs should prioritize for ultimate growth?
Oh, absolutely. It's got to be on the income producing. Okay. Because that's your bottom line. That's where the new clients come in. But it's, think of it as funnels. We don't want just new clients coming in. I mean, initially that's what we want, but we also have to service our clients because we want repeat business, right? We want clients to stay with us as we continue to grow. So those are two very important aspects. But then also the experience that you give to your client, I feel like it has to be very personalized. Even though we have processes, we have systems, but we have to also customize the experience so that it works again for the client needs of what they want, but then it brings in referrals at that point. So there's all kinds of ways there that you can grow the business. So focusing on, and it just depends on what the person's business is. Mine is productivity. So mine is helping people to master their time and to get organized. So that's really where I'm going to focus my attention, is how do I help new clients get set their or establish or excuse me achieve the goals that they want with their organization. But through that, how do I continue to help my existing clients do exactly the same? Because as they get organized, it's going to be new challenges, new obstacles that come into play, right? So we're going to have to figure out what those are. But in the meantime, they're developing skill sets along the way. So I think it's just coming down to the type of business is and focusing on what is it that is going to bring their bottom line in and help them scale and grow their business. What product or service do they offer that they need to focus their attention on and get it out in front of people?
This is gold right now, because I know so many people look for that, how to have repeat customers, depending on whatever the business is, but it's that loyalty factor, that be able to really connect with each person, because they're an individual person, they're a human being, there is a connection and relationship. And even for my solar business, majority of our referral base, based off of how we do business, being able to have that connection, but also servicing the solar now and doing other aspects to really help that customer long term, so we have that relationship. And I think that's with a lot of businesses, majority of the businesses, even if you only have one product or service, it's the referrals, it's being able to have that customer service that's there to support each individual. I love what you said, even once they're organized in the 90 days, then new challenges arrive, new things, more things that will be happening as they grow and scale their business, or whatever it may be that they're working on for organizing their time and energy. But I love that you said that, because I think a lot of people miss that mark from who I've spoken to in the past, where that is so crucial. Because at the end of the day, I think it's relationships first, then business. I mean, that's how we connected, relationship first, then business.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing. We work so hard for that client to come in. We work so hard for them. So why do we want them to go away? We want them to stay. Because, you know, so that's part of the whole thing. It's like the cycle of life, or the circle of life within your business, new, existing, repeat, you know, you just rinse and repeat all of it. I love it.
Yes, rinse and repeat. That is what it's about. And that's what contributes to success. And you've had a lot of success through your journey of entrepreneurship as well. What are some of the key lessons that you have learned along the way that you think are so vital for somebody in this space?
Okay, I have learned that A, don't control the outcome, because you can't. B, I've learned that the self-sabotage, to stop worrying about it and to really let go and trust the process. Trust yourself. You are smart. And once I did that, I stopped telling myself the stories and things started working. But the other thing too is when I saw the successes, and when I saw how all of us as entrepreneurs, I think we're very passionate about what we do and why we do it. I think all of us have a servant's heart. We really want to help people in some way, shape, or form. And so when you start seeing the successes, they start, oh my gosh, this is great. I'm helping people. And so you want more of it. It's almost like an adrenaline rush. You want more and more and more of it. So it's about riding those coattails and just not giving up. The only reason why any entrepreneur or any business owner is ever where they are in their business is because they never gave up. I may have the story slightly wrong, but Colonel Sanders, Kentucky Fried Chicken, it's one of my favorite stories ever. Okay. And so he was 65 years old, took his Social Security check, and went out to sell his Kentucky Fried Chicken recipe. And I believe he had 1,005 no's before someone said yes. And the reason why he didn't give up was because he knew that the right person would be out there, and he knew that he had something that was of value, and he was passionate about it. And so I think that is one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, is that I know that I have something to offer, and I know that each of you have something to offer. So don't give up on your dreams, because you just never, ever know what's going to happen.
I love that story about Kentucky Fried Chicken, because it is a testament to, it doesn't matter how old you are, how many no's you get, if you believe in it, there is no stopping it. It might take a little bit longer. There might not be the right person right away. I do believe we're given obstacles so we can overcome it if we really want something. Because if it's given to us, it doesn't always feel as good if it's just like, okay, not, it wasn't that hard. But when we fight for something and really want something, we know it's something that's going to help others. Just like from helping so many people that you help go from overwhelmed to organized in 90 days or less is a huge testament to that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yes. Okay. So I love that, because see, here I believe what happens is people set goals. They set resolutions. They set intentions. Okay. And right now we're among that time frame of all that happening. Right. And so then we go, okay, so 12 months from now, I want to accomplish X, Y, or Z. Our mind tells us that we have 12 months to accomplish this goal. Mm-hmm. And I believe I read recently that 20% of all entrepreneurs are major procrastinators. So we procrastinate. Okay, so that's the first problem. So then here we roll into October, let's say, of next year, and we're like, oh, okay, I only have a couple of months to get my goals or my intentions completed. Now I'm scrambling, okay? And then we abandon them. I think this is where a lot of people, A, don't complete their goals. They feel like they've failed. That's why they don't like to set goals, because they feel like they've got this sense of failure. So for me, what I like to do is break it down into quarterly or 90-day chunks, okay? So we still are working towards the big end goal at the end of the year, but we're each quarter is building towards that. But each quarter or each 90 days sets a sense of urgency, okay? So now let's say we're in that 90 days. If we wait till, let's say we've got 15 days left, we have that same feeling that I just described in October, right? Yeah. So what we want to do is kind of put a plan together for each 90 days that has an end goal date. And whatever it is that we want to achieve by the end of that 90 days, whether it's putting these processes and systems in place, getting our calendar under control, whatever it is that you have, getting new clients, et cetera, it all works within that 90 days, creates that sense of urgency. So that's going from the overwhelmed to the organized within that very short time frame, because we have processes in place now, and we take the overwhelm out so that the next quarter or the next 90 days becomes easier. And then the next one becomes easier, and the next one becomes easier. And so that's what it's really all about, is creating a mindset, a productivity standpoint, an organization that you feel really like this is so doable within this. I can get this done, and build all that confidence muscle inside yourself.
You're right. It's building on the confidence, but what I'm hearing is like momentum, because the 90 days you have like this goal that you know you're going to hit in those 90 days, and then you can worry about the next one, but focusing on step by step, taking it in bite sizes versus this overwhelming goal of a year long. Because yeah, you can get there, but it's like breaking it down into sections and staying organized, a big part of that. And I would love to hear just one or two client success stories of how you've helped somebody go from overwhelmed to very organized in those 90 days or less.
Sure. So I had a person on my team that was really struggling with this, because she also had a corporate job, and she was really trying to step out of the corporate world and go full time into as an entrepreneur. And but so she had to work within a very short time frame, going back to the 60-30-10 rule. She had to work within that type of a time frame. And so that's really what we focused on, was putting that type of a plan together for her, and then also figuring out what processes and systems that she needed that would work within that rule, so that she could be focused within the time that she had to work her business. Now, if I remember correctly, she only had about 10 hours a week that she could dedicate. So she really had to have focused time. She has a corporate job, she has kids, and she was traveling. So she's juggling a lot of different things, but really wanting this to work. So we were able to do this within this 90 days, and her business just all of a sudden took off like crazy. And within 6 months, she was so set up with her business, with her systems and processes, and really getting her clients on board and everything, that she was able to exit out of her corporate job and move into her entrepreneurial job, her dream job full time. And the beauty of it was she was making the money that she wanted to make. She was not traveling anymore. She was not in a corporate job that she didn't have a passion for anymore. And she was able to spend time with her two teenage boys and go to all of their school functions and spend the time with them that she wanted. So you could say she was living the dream.
That is a perfect example of just going from so burnt out almost of trying to do the full-time job, traveling, having two kids, that's a lot of work in itself, but then also building a business on the side and making that her full-time income, which is incredible because it was very focused and detailed of this is what I need to do. I only have this amount of time. And I think when we're going back to the procrastination aspect, when you are on a deadline with 90 days, knowing, okay, I only have this amount of time, you are so focused. I know that's been my story as well, but a lot of people I'm sure you work with on a regular basis, that when they have that focused action, more things and more results are happening because they are so focused on that. And I'm really curious because I know you've mentioned systems, but what are some of the systems you use outside of, obviously the calendar is crucial, but is there any that you can recommend for people?
Sometimes I go down a rabbit hole just like everybody else, right? And I'm always looking at different apps. And then I'm like, you know what? I get overwhelmed with all these apps because then all of a sudden I got to do this and I do this. I'm pretty old fashioned when it comes to my systems and processes and what I like to do. Yes, we talked about calendars. I do like to move away from paper as much as possible. So electronics are really good. Spreadsheets, if you can set up simple, easy templates, nothing crazy. But for example, people that like to use social media to plan out, have a social media template or a plan on a spreadsheet. Okay. And just make it simple. What are you going to do for the month of whatever? And what days are you going to do it? Again, it doesn't have to be complicated. It just needs to be something somewhat organized. Same with, like, if you are onboarding clients, be consistent with, like, this is the day that I usually onboard my clients, or this is the day that I do my customer follow-up. Kind of even scale it down like that so that you're just not all over the place. I love online planners. I love them. I think they're really great because they go with you everywhere you go. So I use an iPad and I love my iPad. So I just take it. I can pull up my online planner. I can take notes down. I can plan out my social media, my month, whatever it is, goals, my budget, the whole nine yards. I also like QuickBooks for your bookkeeping. I mean, just little things like that. So I just kind of try to be a little bit more old fashioned, but I don't think we have to have all the fancy bells and whistles. I think a lot of the things are available to us at our fingertips if we just think about it and make it simple and easy.
Yes. And I'm sure that helps so much with when people are stressed out, trying to figure out where their time is going and having it really in one place. I mean, I'm a little bit old school as well, where I just have an Excel sheet for all my social media for the month. I know what I'm posting, when I'm posting it. But I think part of that is just being organized, knowing where everything is. It doesn't have to be super fancy. I'm starting to use Go High Level for a CRM and keep everything organized in one place because I do have everything spread out. I'm in the process of condensing all of that for my coach to just be able to up level in different aspects. But I think you're absolutely right. It is keeping it simple. You got to start somewhere. I've been using the system for years now, so now it's time to upgrade. But when you're first starting out, it's just keeping it really simple. It doesn't have to be overwhelming and paying so much money to have certain systems, but you're exactly right. The online planner as well.
Yeah. And there's a lot of apps out there that I do use that are free too. Like I use Canva quite a bit to create my social media graphics, newsletter graphics, things like that. And there's a free version as well as a paid version. Mm-hmm. Free version works really well. I also use Excel quite a bit, like we talked about, but also, like, even for people that want to have a website, for example, if you don't have a huge budget to go out and spend a lot of money to pay somebody to do a website, you can create your own website very affordably through things like MailerLite, and then HubSpot is a good CRM system. So there's a lot of good tools out there that we can use. Calendly is another one that I love to use for scheduling. Again, they're super affordable, simple, easy to set up, and they don't take a lot of time.
And That makes all the difference. And I love that you mentioned those as well, because there's so many tools out there. It can be very overwhelming, but find what you said too. It's finding what works best for each individual and your system and how you flow, and creating that workflow that's going to be conducive to scaling your business. And, you know, we've talked a lot about just how people are juggling a lot of things, especially your clients in particular. Being able to integrate work and life and being able to have those responsibilities, it's a huge common struggle across the board for people, but especially entrepreneurs. And if you're wearing multiple hats, you're like the COO, the CEO, the CFO, everything else. But what advice would you have for entrepreneurs to maintain a healthy integration between work and life?
One of my favorite questions that you just asked. Okay. So, because I think this is something that I struggled with in the beginning before I realized. So first of all, it's setting office hours for yourself and having boundaries. We tend to work out of our house as entrepreneurs, and all of a sudden it's like we're working 24/7 instead of treating it like walking into your office. Having dedicated office space is so important, and having it feel like an office, like it is, like you're coming to work, you're sticking your purse underneath your desk, and you're getting ready to work for the day, having that type of a mindset. I've talked with so many entrepreneurs that literally work from their kitchen tables. And when the kids come home, they're moving all the stuff off the table onto the counter, off the counter, back onto the table. It never feels like they have a business environment. So it really makes a big mindset. So dedicated office hours, dedicated office space, the office space that actually looks like an office. It's different from the rest of the house, for example, if you're working out of the house. But also, I think dressing for business, because as entrepreneurs, we tend to wear our sweatpants a lot, yoga pants, and the messy bun and the whole nine yards, and that's okay. But I feel like sometimes when I'm talking on the phone with a client, maybe we're not on a Zoom, but we're on a phone call, I feel more professional. My voice feels more professional when I have a sweater on and, you know, I have my hair done and everything. I think it creates somewhat of confidence for you. So I think those are just some simple things that we can do to create that work-life balance. I remember my very first week of working out of the house, and I took a lunch break and I turned on the TV, and the next thing you know, 4 hours had passed and I'm still watching the TV. And I was like, oh my goodness, if this is going to work, I really have to be focused on my office hours. And so when I'm in the office, I'm in the office, and that's what I do. And when I'm out of the office, I'm with my family. So I shut down every day at 3:30 because I want to spend the rest of the afternoon with my family. I try to take Fridays off so that I can go do the fun activities that I want to do. And that's part of why I became an entrepreneur. So I feel like if I'm committed to my office hours during the times that I have set, then I get those privileges or benefits or the lifestyle that I want to create for myself. And that helps create that work-life balance for me.
It's beautiful. And that is what it's about, having the freedom, just like what you first started talking about. And also having a dedicated space makes all the difference versus, I know, like sometimes I'm working from my bed when I'm just like editing or doing things that doesn't require me to be on camera or anything along those lines. But I think it's really imperative what you said about having Fridays just completely off so you can go and do the things you want to do, and really making that space in our calendar for that. Even if you don't have a full day, you might have a full schedule, but blocking off those times. And that's what I'm hearing as well. And I think that's part of being prepared, dressing up for the part, knowing, okay, I'm going to work. I'm going to put on a nice sweater, some makeup, close my door so nobody bothers me or anything like that. They know it's my office time. And part of that is building that confidence. And I'm really curious, because helping your clients with building their confidence and knowing that they can schedule things out and make this happen for themselves and reduce the stress that they're feeling, the overwhelm, what do you think is the challenges or setbacks that a lot of the people you work with face when they are starting to shift their schedule or really adopt what you're helping them with?
They don't understand how to really work their calendar. Well, I'll use time blocking for an example. We hear about time blocking an awful lot, and I feel like it overwhelms people because they literally block out every waking moment of their day on their calendar, or they have a rebellion against it and they don't block any time out on their calendar. So they're winging it. So they're either going from one extreme to the other. So one of the things is like time, let's manage small chunks of time and work it for a couple of weeks. Let's see how it's working and make sure that it's working for you. It's comfortable. The system is working. And then we can integrate more and more and more into it. So we don't have to do everything at one time. But time blocking, you know, is really about a 30-minute, a 60-minute, or a 90-minute chunk. That's it. And no more than that. Our brains really can't handle much more than that. If you've ever worked a full day and you're just completely exhausted because you worked on one project all day long, your brain is in overload. And what happens is it starts to shut down and you lose that creativity. Nothing is flowing. And so you tend to get frustrated or make mistakes or all that good stuff, right? So if we work in small chunks of time, it's another mindset. But what we're doing is I've only got 30 minutes to do this. So I've got to be like right here. I've got to be super focused on that 30 minutes. I usually recommend to people in the beginning, set a timer. And when the timer goes off, you're done, period. I don't care if you have only 5 minutes more, you're done. And then you can come back to it, you know, at the next time block if you want. But what I also tell people is in between those time blocks is give yourself 15 minutes to 30 minutes to get out of the office. Go take a walk, go have lunch. Don't eat lunch at your desk. That's when you can do the laundry. That's when you can do all the other stuff, right? But what happens is you're going to now allow your brain to relax, rejuvenate, and regenerate the creativity so that when you go into the next time block, you're ready to go again. And again, you're going to set it for X amount of time. So it's just kind of creating a consistency or a habit around it. And then, like I said, we try that for a couple of weeks and then we start adding more and more. And more.
You know, what's really like coming through for me is that flexibility and adaptability. You said like practicing for 3 weeks, see how it pans out. If it's not, then changing it, but giving our brains that rest. This is something I'm constantly learning of just taking time away from multiple things, but just allowing ourselves to rest allows that creativity, allows more things to come through in a shorter period of time as well, because we're giving ourselves that break. Because if our brains are going from all day long, I know I get emotionally drained. And now I've changed my calendar where I only do a certain amount of things each day so I can function in the level I want to. But I love how you put it, because it really is making things simpler. It doesn't have to be so overdone or overwhelming in that aspect, because I know so many people do get overwhelmed looking at their schedule or time blocking every minute. That used to be me. Not anymore. I have a little more flexibility.
Yeah. So I go back to like where we were talking, the being the CEO of your business. You have two or three things that you really need to get done this week. Where do I fit them in on the schedule this week? How do I time block them? And if I do that, I can get them done, or you can make a lot of headway. And then I think part of the success of all of this is seeing the progress, seeing the steps moving forward, seeing the success. Oh, I got this accomplished, because I feel like that's another thing that holds us back is when we're not really sure what we're supposed to be working on, how we're supposed to be focusing on it, and why it's important to our business, then I feel like we get a little frustrated. And that's where the overwhelm comes in, and the stress, the burnout, all of these things that we don't want to do. So what we want to do is make it easy. But you see the progress and you get excited to do more and more and more.
It's celebrating the milestones. I think a lot of us don't really take that initiative to just take a step back, look at what we've accomplished, and the really hard things and the really easy things. It's just having like a reward for it. I just went to a meeting, I think it was last week, about that, and just recognizing, okay, well, I'm putting in this effort. I completed this, and acknowledging yourself for it, no matter what it is. It could be something very small or grandiose, but really looking at where that falls for you. And the more we recognize those milestones, the more we're equipped to continue forward versus burning out.
Right. And, you know, and I'm going to go back to like the mompreneur. Okay. So the moms out there that have kids, you know, especially in the summertime, I feel like that this is a really big challenge. It's an obstacle. Kids are out of school. They want to go play. They want to go to the pool, bike riding, all these things, right? So there's a lot of mom guilt around all of this because they really want to spend the time. That's why they're an entrepreneur, but they still have to work their business a little bit. So I'm a big proponent of like engaging the family of they understand here's the account. I have a big white board on the wall and it has my schedule on it. And it's like, everybody knows what's going on. And it's like the reward, like you just said. So if mom can have 2 hours to get this done, then we're all going to go down to the pool. Okay. So the kids are going to allow mom to get the work done so that they can go to the pool. And mom feels the satisfaction of I got the work done and now I get to go play with my kids. And it eliminates that mom guilt. So I really feel like there's so much benefit no matter where you are in your life with a business, whether you're a mom, maybe you're a caregiver, maybe you're trying to exit out of corporate, but you've got to balance the time and set those boundaries and the expectations for yourself. But also you have to really let everybody else know too.
Yes. Communication, boundaries and communication. You are speaking my language. That is how people understand. We don't know what we don't know. And if we aren't saying that, how is anybody going to read our mind unless they're psychic? But most of the time you can't read somebody's mind.
Right. Exactly. And I'm getting ready to work with a client that's exactly in that place that they have a team of people and they're really struggling with how to communicate that boundary to them of where they need to be and where their time needs to fit in. So again, communication is a big piece of the puzzle.
Oh, I think it's everything, right? Because it's just being able to know where you stand, having the boundaries. But if you don't communicate the boundaries, how are they going to know it's a boundary? But I love that that's the client you're going to be working with. And I know it's going to really help with your wisdom as well as systems and having everything in place. And I'm just really curious, going back to 2008 from now, what would be one piece of advice you wish someone had given you when you first started on your entrepreneurial journey? I know you've given lessons and insight, but what is like the one thing that really stands out to you that you wish you would have known?
Gosh, you know, honestly, I think that I wish somebody would have said, don't try to do everything on your own. Ask for help when you need it. It's okay. You're not failing when you ask for help. And help can come in so many different forms. It could be support from your family. It could be a networking support. So when I left corporate, my kids were old enough to where they weren't really, I wasn't the soccer mom anymore. So it wasn't like I was tapping into other moms to help me with business and everything. So I was out there networking. So it's okay to network. It's okay to let people know you're new in business. It's okay to ask for help. And don't feel like you have to do it all. Delegate where you can. If bookkeeping is not your thing, then let somebody else do it. And it's okay to hire somebody to help you if you have the means to be able to hire a coach or a consultant, somebody that has some expertise that can guide you. And again, you don't have to pay an arm and a leg for it. I wish I would have not worried about thinking people were going to think of me less because I wasn't considered the expert at that time, even though I was. I've always had the skills. I just didn't have all of it in place yet. And I could have used some help with that.
That was gold right there. And I think that's part of it, being able to recognize when to delegate, when to outsource. But when we hire someone, it's for speed, for something we're not an expert at, but how we become experts is doing it and getting ourselves out there and networking and meeting people. And people, more times than not, want to help you in whatever capacity they can. But I mean, at least everyone I've come across are always like open arms to help in any capacity. And there's so much resources out there, but I love what you're doing. I love what you are up to and helping so many people reduce that overwhelm and have more control over their time and energy. But where can people find you, Nina?
Oh gosh. Okay. I am on social media and under my name, Nina Anderson, but I also have a website that people can go and get more information as well. And it's yourproductivityguru.com. And so you can go there and or you can just reach out to me via email and get more information that way. And so that is Nina, yourproductivityguru@gmail.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Nina, for sharing your time and beautiful soul with us and just everything you are doing to really help people have more control over their life and really scaling their businesses because of that. So thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your wisdom with us.
Oh, thank you. It was my pleasure. This was really wonderful. Happy to share what I have.
We love it and appreciate it. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.